Hi there, and welcome back to another episode of Habits into Health. This is Michael Ann Conley. I am a habit change coach and a holistic therapist and the host of this podcast show. You know, we are all about turning around habits that are creating problems for yourself and others. This show has something to offer no matter where you are in your process. You might be just getting started and you want to get some support for knowing which course to take. It might be that you've started making some progress and you could use some ongoing support for staying on track. And the show is for you if you care about somebody else whose habit is creating problems for you and other people. And finally, also, this show can be very, very helpful if you have made good progress and if you have tried other things and not made any progress and you want to try something new. That's because Habits into Health is not about which habit is creating your problem. It's about what all habits have in common, including hidden habits. And those are ways in which you engage in a repeating behavior that doesn't serve you, but that you don't necessarily recognize that there's a link. Habits into Health is a holistic perspective and is here to help you create a different future for yourself than the usual ways that people approach habit change. In every episode, you're going to have an opportunity to practice for yourself new skills and attitudes. These are things that I've learned along my way, and I've been passing them along to clients in my office for many years. So now I get to share them more widely with everybody through this podcast, which is great. Okay, so let's do a little topic summary before we get into our practice for today. We're continuing to talk about keeping your own side of the street clean when it comes to inventory taking. And that's when person A makes a list of person B's behaviors and decides they know what they're all about. And sometimes decides to share that. And the truth is, there's a difference between observing someone's behavior and analyzing and making judgments about why they're doing that behavior. Observing, that's something that you see. Analyzing and judging, that's a little bit over the line. Last week we talked about what you do when you're in the role of responsibility over someone else, where it can be a little bit tricky to recognize, have you stepped over that line? One example is if you're a parent and the other person is your child, or if you're a boss or a manager and the other person is an employee or a subordinate. And because of your role, that difference between observing and analyzing can feel thin because you have a responsibility over them in some way, or like at work, you have to do performance evaluations and things like that. This week, we're going to put the shoe on the other foot, and that's when you're the person in the less powerful position. How to keep your side of that inventory street clean is a really big deal for your own self-esteem in these situations, especially if you recognize that you're kind of trapped in the situation now and you haven't quite worked your way out, but you have a plan. Before we go there, though, let's enter into our Habits into Health practice, and this is an investment in developing self-contact and self-influence for increasing your awareness of the subtle patterns in yourself, and that's a start in taking care of your own changes. I like to say the more you give to this practice, the more it gives back to you, because doing it over time helps to reinforce until it becomes more like nature for you. We've been experimenting for the last few episodes, and instead of doing a different focus for the practice, what I've been doing is varying the previous episode's practice. My in-person groups have told me that it's helpful to deepen their connection if we have a theme that we follow over time, and so I'm trying it out here. And I know you may be listening to podcasts at random, but if you want to try out this process of doing a similar exercise week after week after week and seeing where that takes you, for the time being, just check the episodes that have been posted since February 3rd of 2014 up through this episode, at least so far. And you can do that either at habitsintohealth.com or on iTunes. Now, because inventory taking particularly involves what you think you know about someone, this is our fourth episode that focuses on the connection between thinking and muscular action. Let's get started. So to begin, just be attentive to your experience of thinking right now in the moment. Not so much what you're thinking, content, but more the process that's going on in you when you're doing this activity you call thinking. We all do this in our own way. So you might be someone who notices the energetic movement in how your thoughts shift, change, and flow. Or you might be someone who sees thoughts as if you were reading words on a screen in front of you. It's possible that you experience thinking as pictures or images. Or you might experience thoughts as memories or associations. Those are links between different experiences. Like, let's say you see something and it reminds you of a similar experience at another time. Now, this is just an entry point, because in Habits into Health, we bring in another way that thoughts are experienced, and that is through actions. Thoughts have actions, as one of my teachers used to say. So at this time, let your attention shift to where you experience yourself during this activity that you call thinking. And even though you're listening to my voice right now, you're probably thinking at the same time. You may be asking yourself, well, what does she mean? Or you might be thinking about something that you have to do in the next 5 minutes. You might be wondering what happened to that person that just cut you off on the freeway if you're driving while you're listening. So this question of where you're thinking is not something we're used to considering, because we all live in a time that's oriented toward thinking as the ruler of what is. The belief is that thinking occurs in the mind, and yet that is not a universal belief. In Chinese medicine, for instance, the heart is the center of where things start. And in many Native American cultures, the power center, just at the crux of your diaphragm, is where the action happens. It's beginning to shift as we start to get to know that there's a relationship between action and thought, and that is becoming better understood. But you can participate in this new understanding right now just for yourself by being attentive to where you're thinking. And it may not be easy to recognize initially. That's okay. Just give it a try, and over time, you can become more easily attuned to where your thoughts occur. Let me guide you for a bit. Just notice, as you think, what's happening around your eyes, between your eyes, above your eyes in your forehead, behind your eyes inside your head. Do you experience any sensations there? Maybe a tingling or a buzzing. Might be something that you're feeling in your temple on the right or the left. Maybe you're aware of something happening in your cheekbone. Maybe a tightness or a tension somewhere. Now travel down your cheeks to your mouth and jaw and check out what's happening there. Notice what's happening in your shoulders as you think right now. And as you listen to my voice, notice what happens energetically around your ears, inside your ears, and between your ears. You might even say something to yourself, you know, without speaking, or you can go ahead and speak, and just be attentive to what happens with your lips, your tongue, inside your mouth, and down your throat. The thing is that your thoughts are not some disembodied entity that exists outside of you. Your thoughts are demonstrated every day in your facial expressions, in the way you hold your shoulders and use your mouths. In fact, when you think, all of you is engaged in some way, and we've kind of become disconnected from that. Over time, with practice, you can become very adept at recognizing your physiological experiences when you think. That's true whether you only practice this very briefly or for many minutes. When you do this, you're taking charge of your own rhythm. It's a practice, and practice creates progress. And with this practice, you're attuning to your whole self. And this is what I call letting the body lead, so your mind doesn't have to. Now we'll shift our focus. I want to do a little station identification, because if this feels enriching, or even if you're just curious, you can find out more at habitsintohealth.com. That's habits, H-A-B-I-T-S. Into is spelled out I-N-T-O, and health, H-E-A-L-T-H, followed by that .com. This is Michael Ann Conley, and I host this show and the Habits Into Health programs. When you get there, visit the podcast page and listen to more podcasts like this. You can also search for Habits Into Health on iTunes. Like us on Facebook. That's at habits.into.health. You'll get posts whenever episodes are published. And there's some additional ways to get support that are new. You can request my new ebook, It's called Do You Have a Habit or Does Your Habit Have You? And in there, you will discover 5 warning signs that you're stuck and what you can do about it. You can go to habitsintohealth.com and on the right sidebar, you'll see a box about the book. Just fill in your name and email address and I'll send it on your way. And I'll also keep in touch with you through my email newsletter. My gifts to the universe are this podcast and the ebook, which I'm really excited about. And both of them introduce you to the Habits Into Health perspective. In the podcast, you get an orientation to the practice of letting your body lead the way so that your mind can step back from being the dictator who forces something to happen. Here are some reminders about events coming up in the Bay Area where you can experience the practice in person. On Tuesday, March the 18th, 2014, I'm hosting our next one-hour retreat for men and women. Just a little mini retreat to get an experience. And then on Saturday, May the 3rd, 2014, I'm leading a live event called the 5 Steps to the New You. And in this 4-hour retreat, you're going to be amazed because you're going to learn why trying to get rid of a self-defeating habit is more likely to keep it around. Think about that. You'll learn some additional methods that I cannot share in this podcast that help your mind do what it's here for. And that's to gather consensus from everything within you so that you can influence your own possibilities. I only do this kind of work in person or when I know people and I can engage with them back and forth. So I don't do that in this podcast because it's important for me to be able to receive feedback from you as we move forward in an exercise so that I can modulate it to meet your needs. Those events are really useful for that. And I also want to say, you know, instead of dreading your habit, you can become really excited because every chance you face this habit, you're going to have a whole new way to love it away, and that will be a chance to practice. On the practical side, you can free yourself from pain and the energy drain that kind of goes along with having a habit that just kind of sticks around, won't go away. For example, for myself, I had a great side effect. The practice isn't intended to heal or cure. It's more intended to help you develop your own abilities. But I had arthritis in my hip 30 years ago, and I hardly ever experience it today because I've learned to work with that part of myself and manage it. And in some cases, the habit that's been draining you just transforms where you're in charge of it rather than the other way around. Okay, let's talk about our topic. Lately, we've been discussing inventory taking and how that fits under a bigger umbrella that I call keeping your own side of the street clean. It's one of the frameworks that I use to support clients in acting with the highest integrity that they can in their relationships. And we all are doing the very best we can with the resources we have. So this concept helps you kind of shore up and build up your resources. So it's like you're walking along with somebody else, and no matter what they do, you pick up after yourself. You don't throw trash in front of them. And if they throw trash in front of you, you don't throw it back. You might choose not to walk on the same street with these folks, but keeping your side clean, as long as you're walking with them, means that you refrain from judging them or paying them back for their behavior. If you want to get a broader sense of this framework, just come to habitsintohealth.com, type communication street in the search box, and the whole series of podcasts will come up. You can listen to them all. Now, as to inventory taking, that's a way of not keeping the communication street clean. It's when you not only judge the other person, but you decide that you know why they're doing what they're doing. And because of that, of course, you know better about their lives than they do. But there's a line between what you observe and what you think is going on behind what you see. The first part you just see, Mary is throwing her clothes on the floor. Johan smokes in the common space. Sophia is crying after coming home from a date. That's observation. The second part is crossing the line, where you think you know what's going on inside Mary. Oh, she's just a sloppy person. Or, Johan is really depressed and he can't stop smoking and that's really a bad thing. He's going to kill himself. Or, Sophia has gone and done it again, dated somebody who's not being nice to her. So you decide you know what they're thinking and why they're doing what they're doing. And even if you know someone well, crossing the line from observation to analysis and judgment creates problems. And you know, actually, It's even more important to be cautious about your assumptions when you know someone well, because in those situations, you're more likely to have past experience behind you that influences your attitude. Then whether you're correct or not, there's more chance you'll create a bigger problem between the two of you by evaluating them. Previously, we've talked about how this shows up in relationships where there's mutuality. But last week, we talked about situations where you're in a role of responsibility over someone else. When you're a parent and the other person is your child, when you're the owner of a company and are dealing with an employee, when you're in a position of managing the work of other people as a supervisor or a team lead. And because of your role, you also have power that comes with authority. And it can be really easy to fall into taking inventory instead of just observing and saying what you observe and being willing to share your concerns or discomforts while leaving the why about the behavior to them. So this week, let's talk about how to keep your side of the inventory street clean when you're the person in the less powerful position. Specifically, we're going to talk about situations in which there is a tangible power imbalance and the relationship is not completely voluntary, meaning that you're locked in for at least the time being. This situation happens when the other person has some kind of concrete power over you, such as they control financial resources. That could include income, and it could happen in your personal life, but it also includes work because you may need to protect your income by keeping your job. And it also includes other tangible aspects of life, such as housing or transportation. If you are living in a place where someone else rules the roost, and or that place is not close to public transportation and you don't have a vehicle, then there's a level of control and authority that they have over you that wouldn't otherwise exist. You could be a young person who's living with your parents. Maybe you're just starting out in your adult life. But in these days of economic change, it might also be that no matter how old you are, you've either moved back into a parent's home or you're living in someone else's home under their rules because your own living circumstances don't allow you to live independently, at least now. On the work side, you could be dealing with a boss or a supervisor who plays a power game either actively by threatening your job or passively by implying a threat. Either of those puts you in a bind, don't they? All right. So what to do when the person who has power, either over a checkbook or a paycheck, over the roof that's over your head, over your faith in your own abilities? First off, it helps to tell yourself the truth about your circumstances. Things may be bad, but it doesn't help to avoid them. And sure, they're less than ideal, but those circumstances don't define who you are, no matter what anyone else says. You define who you are. And the last thing most of us want is to feel trapped in a situation with no way out. I trust that you ultimately want to get yourself out of this situation. And I also know that you have probably sorted out the pros and cons of your situation. You may be planning your way out, but for now, you need some support for managing what is, right? So this episode is more about supporting you in managing your immediate circumstances, specifically how to manage yourself in the circumstances you're in. Keeping your self-esteem steady is a very important part of daily life right now. Here are some things to consider. No matter how low you are, know who you are. When someone else uses the tangible power that they have, finances, housing, etc., to actively put you down or define you, maybe calling you lazy, for instance. Well, they're just throwing their own trash on your side of the street. You don't have to pick it up. Think of all of those so-called slackers who hung out on schoolyards developing their skateboard techniques years ago, or their dancing moves, or the kids who hung out in their rooms teaching themselves how to write computer code. They just followed their interests, and because they were interested in something, they developed discipline about it. Their discipline served them, either because they became professionals in their chosen interest, or just because the act of discipline itself reduces depression or feeling stuck. Rather, start by being in a kind relationship to yourself, by telling some loving truths to yourself about yourself. Here's a way to do that. Number one, practice the Habits into Health exercises. These will guide you in becoming attuned to what's really going on, so that less and less you'll be able to lie to yourself about how you really feel. Know when you feel bad, just like know when you feel good. And that starts not in your mind, but in how you're using yourself. There's a practical way that you can do this too. You can discover your strengths. You can go to strengthsfinder.com and buy their book and discover your five top strengths. It's very affordable. But if you can't afford anything financial right now, go to freestrengthfinder.com and take their tests, which is a similar kind of test. And by the way, I'll post resources for these links on habitsintohealth.com. Just type in Make Your Personal Power Count, which is the title of this particular podcast. Type it into the search box on the top right to find this podcast, and the links will be on that page. Now, the second thing is a matter of discipline, and it's no matter what they say to you, do not throw it back on them. It also takes discipline to stay on your side of the street. If someone is attached to being one-up, throwing it back only gives their opinion more power. It often takes double discipline, because not throwing it back isn't likely to get you any praise either. If a person has an opinion about you, it won't change unless they change. If a person's opinion about themselves is that they know what's so, and they know you better than you know you, then that's definitely not likely to change unless they decide to change. So no matter what you do with some people, you're not going to be able to please them. I'm thinking about a situation a while ago in my own life. Actually, I can think of a couple of situations when no matter what I did, another person's opinion about a shared experience involved blaming and criticizing me. And I knew it wasn't going to help the situation by throwing those accusations back. It wasn't easy. It's not easy to hear somebody else projecting their blame onto you. So it was a practice to hold firm in my perspective without pushing back. And my perspective was that there are two sides to this issue, and I'm going to hold my perspective. And I'd like to say that being even-tempered helped to resolve things with this person, but it didn't. However, I'm left with some valuable, supportive learning. The first one is, we don't always get the results we want, but we can find contentment by handling ourselves with integrity. Then I also feel good about my ability to hold my own boundaries. I'm very clear that my perspective about the shared event was valuable, even though the other person would not hear my perspective. And I'm satisfied because I was able to contain myself. I didn't respond to this person's criticism with my own. I simply maintained a kind-hearted but firm stance that I held a different view. The fact that the other person could not hear this was not on me, although, yeah, it was very sad. Now, this happens in work situations, too. Down the road, you will ultimately prefer to know that you did not lower yourself to your supervisor or boss's level of judgment or diminish yourself by accepting their opinion as fact. You'll feel better about yourself if you maturely follow an exit plan to a more compatible work situation instead of quitting in a huff. It might mean being agreeable. It might mean completing tasks that you consider irrelevant or that aren't your strong suit. But unless you're offered a generous settlement package, you'll feel better if you don't leave, with one exception. If you have the opinion of at least two attorneys that you have a solid reason to take legal action, or your health, safety, or legal status is at risk, then you might consider a faster move out of the job situation. The bottom line is this. Your self-esteem will rise as you create this discipline. Because one thing that leads to unhappiness is knowing we didn't manage ourselves. Since you can't control what the other person does, and you can only change yourself, then focus on feeling good that you managed your own behavior. It will help in the short term as well as in the long run. We're going to pause for now. I'm going to say we're going to stop, but we're going to pause for now. Because next time we're going to face another tricky truth, and that is that sometimes we volunteer to play one down. So it's part two of this conversation. And that might mean that we pull in people who tend to play one up, and that people who don't want to play one up leave because they don't want to fill their lives with people who play one down. For now, I'm going to sign off. If you have a habit that's creating problems for you, or if someone you know has a problem habit, then come to habitsintohealth.com and request my free ebook, and it will help you take some first steps. I always like to say, remember to start small and be kind to yourself along the way. You have been listening to Habits Into Health, and this is Michael Ann Conley. I'm here to help you stop feeling out of control over these unhealthy habits, wondering what you're doing wrong or what's wrong with you, and start creating healthier possibilities for your future. Thanks so much for joining me.